Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you're having a glorious day today. I want to talk to you about a practical topic that can help you in your faith walk. I'm calling it, what side do you fall on? What side do you fall on? Just today, I was texting with a young brother, and this topic came up, and I thought it would be a great one to share with you all, because I think it'll bless you. We were discussing some topics that are what some people would call liberty issues or things that were not clear doctrinal teaching in Scripture, and we were talking about how to make decisions in those areas, and I gave him my longtime practice recommended way on how to decide matters. It's worked well for me in my house over the years serving Christ, and I want to pass it on to all you that might be listening today. First, a scripture. Let's build it on a scripture, God's word. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, see that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I like that. We're going to key on that word blameless, right? So we know we are to live and carry ourselves to be blameless for the Lord. Think about what he did for us. We're to live blameless for him. Now, in this culture, far too many claimed believers, many of them are churchianity people, they let their guard down and they think, well, all their sin's covered. We know that's not true. No willful sin is covered by the blood of Christ. And they don't walk in purity, holiness. They don't make good decisions. They're compromised. They're worldly. Is this honoring the one who shed his blood to redeem a holy, peculiar people? I say no, no, not at all. And as saints, we cannot live that way. We'll be in grave danger if we do. So how do we go about making blamelessness happen in our everyday life? We who are born of the gospel, I'm talking to true saints here, born by faith in Christ and repentance, his finished work, new life, being born again. Holiness and obedience is our desire and enduring in the faith. How do we go about living this blameless life? Well, we walk in the Spirit. We study the Word, meditate on it, understand it, obey it. We pray. Ask God for strength, wisdom, grace. And we keep only biblical fellowship in our daily life. We don't have bad associations. We don't have corrupt, false man-made religion. So those are a few basic things that we do that are very, very important. But I can tell you that blamelessness just doesn't automatically happen, right? It's something you have to choose and be mindful of, diligent, intentional towards. And it happens over a long time of making many good decisions for Christ. Then your blamelessness, your holiness in him grows. Does that not make sense? It does. So over time, you grow in your wisdom, your discernment, your holiness, your blamelessness. But that's only going to happen if you make good decisions along the way. Another scripture, Job 1:1. And there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I have a question. You think Job made a lot of good decisions in his life to be considered perfect? Yeah, good decisions going on there. So let's talk about this very, very practical thing we can do outside of all those other things we talked about. What can we do to walk and live blameless? Apostle Paul tells us to keep the tradition he's handed down, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So when it comes to doctrine and practice and things clearly exampled in the New Testament early body, we have defined commandments on how we're to live, examples of the early saints. So that's clear. That should be no argument of any true born-again believer seeking the things of God. But what about those areas that may not be so clear, where we don't have clear examples, or areas where we have liberty on? We're going to cover that. How do we fall always on the side of God, goodness, holiness, and blamelessness? Again, I'm going to offer up to you my time-tested, simple, approved method that's worked for me. Whenever you have decisions to make that are not all that clear in Scripture, right? We don't have clear doctrine. We don't have clear examples. You really comes down to most times you have two main choices. You can choose that which falls towards the world, your flesh, and compromise, or you can choose that which makes you fall towards God, holiness, and this blamelessness. And we're going to talk about that. How do we do that? We make a decision towards the flesh and the world, or towards God and holiness. Now, we know we're not to conform to the world, per Romans 12:2, right? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know Romans 8 tells us that to live in the flesh, we can't please God. So it would seem wise to always fall on the side of God, holiness, blamelessness as a regular pattern, and that will lead to this life closer to perfection, closer to blamelessness, pleasing the Lord. In the book of John, it says it pleases God when his children, it pleases him when his children walk in the truth. So I'm going to look at some practical examples here, just a few, and show how you can use this simple tool of always falling on the side of God, not the side of world, the world and flesh. A couple topics here. Hair length. This one is specifically speaking to men. Women grow their hair long, and the Bible says that it tells men to have the hair short. Well, I discussed this with a young man just the other day, and the Bible does not give us a measured length. Paul says men are to have short hair in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, to fall on the side of God and not fall on the side of fashion and vanity, I always teach men shorter is better. You don't worry about having to style it. You don't worry about fashion. You don't worry about how it looks. You cut your hair short. You wash it. You towel it. You're done. This helps you fall on the side of godliness, blamelessness, humility, not vanity. Pretty simple, right? So hair length, you're not sure. If it's you think it might be too long, it's probably too long. Cut it shorter to fall on the side of blamelessness. How about musical instruments? Yeah, this one comes up a lot. You know, people will say, well, we can use instruments because we see them in the Old Testament, but the New Testament word gives us no clear example or no clear teaching on using them. In fact, it says in Ephesians 5:19, make a melody in our heart. We know we're now the instruments because the Bible says in the New Testament we're instruments of righteousness. So it's a gray area for some. I think it's pretty clear in Scripture. But by choosing no instruments, all right, what we can avoid is all the fleshly ways of people getting caught up in instrumental music. You know, music is like a drug, and the dangers of contemporary Christian music today. The danger of picking this or that instrument, which ones are we going to allow? How many are we going to allow? Eventually leading to a big fleshly band. Think about it. I told a young man, if I allow a guitar, then I can't stop bongos, flutes, electric guitars, organs, cymbals, tambourines, synthesizers. We got a band cranking out. No, we're going to choose just singing a cappella with our lips like was modeled in the New Testament. So no instruments keeps us blameless and falling towards that which is holy, obedient, non-confusing, keeping us towards this blameless mark. Amen? How about another example? This one's a big one. Clothing. Those of you who dress biblical, the ladies, 1 Timothy 2:9, and men, Genesis 3:21, God clothed us in long flowing garments. We've all had the occasion where we go in a thrift store or go into a department store and we find a great price on a garment that will work for us. It's plain, it's loose, but this one's got kind of a pattern on it. And I don't know about that color. It looks a little flashy. If we lean to our flesh, it can start a trend and you start changing how you look, changing your decisions. You might start growing in pride and vanity. But if we say, no, I'm going to wait for a plain, more godly garment that gives me no warning sign or no conviction, we are sure to be falling on the side of blamelessness, always choosing that which leads us towards God and holiness. Amen? Let's go to another one. Entertainment or hobbies. The world is full of all kinds of choices on how you can spend your time. Most are sinful, carnal, fleshly, and time-wasting. People of the world and churchianity people watch movies, but they're carnal, they're fleshly, actors are hypocrites. Now, walks in God's creation, those are good, pure, and true. Take your family fishing to catch some dinner, that's a good thing. So if we test all things to God's word, Philippians 4:8, what's good, pure, true, worthy, noble, we will be sure to always fall on the side of godliness, holiness, and this blamelessness that we want to set for a pattern of our life. So look at these decisions we're talking about. If each one we make towards God, look how much more godly and holy we're going to be. If each one we fall towards the world, yeah, we're leaning towards the world. Not a good direction you want to go. Hey, how about another one? Food and gluttony. This comes up often too. Now, this is an area of clear liberty. The only food law that we're under today is no eating of blood. Acts 15, verse 20 tells us that. But many people get caught up in all kinds of food. I call it food idolatry. Organic food, all fresh food, vegan food. And you have freedom. You have freedom to choose in this area, no doubt about it. But some get caught up in then eating too much. Some get caught up in eating too little. They're caught up in, you know, they're trying to keep their pride and vanity. We have to choose a balance that works, that keeps us good steward of God's money, that doesn't harm our witness, that doesn't feed our pride and vanity. We have to be very cautious in this area so we can choose in these areas because we have liberty, always leaning on the side of good, purity, holiness, godliness in our food choices, blamelessness. Right? Make those choices. And you're always going to be going in that direction of the Lord. How about jobs? I've been dealing with a lot of young men lately. They're all trying to make a living. And the Bible doesn't tell us what job to do. Nope. It does say, if you don't work, you don't eat. 2 Thess 3:10. So a man could be a janitor cleaning up messes. Hey, that's a good, pure, honest job. Nothing wrong with that. How about a salesman, like I used to be? Yeah, a salesman. They're pressured to lie, twist the truth, not be genuine. I wasn't a top salesman because I refused to lie, twist the truth, be a chameleon and pretend to be a friend of everybody. I didn't do that stuff. So which one would be the better job? Obviously, the janitor would be the more lowly, humble, godly, pure, honest way to make a living. And what are you doing? You're falling towards the ways of God. You're falling towards holiness and blamelessness, right? You see the pattern here. How about relationships? You know, let's say you got a neighbor or a distant family member, and for whatever reason, they cause you to stumble. Maybe they almost cause you to sin. You can't decide if you should be around them much or not at all. You've already shared the gospel with them. They're not really interested at all. They know who to call if they ever want to seek eternal life. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, he came to divide. So it's wise to choose division over sin, worldliness, confusion. Fall on the side of God. Watch your associations. Avoid that person lest you be caught up in sin and their false ways. Choosing good, pure, godliness, blamelessness towards the Lord. Those are just a few examples for you. There's many, many more that you could probably come up yourself in your own life. By making it a pattern to always fall towards God, holiness, and blamelessness, not towards the flesh, the world, compromise, people-pleasing, you know what you're always doing? You're always drawing near to God. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Isn't that beautiful? So God says, hey, kind of, meet me halfway, right? And if you're moving towards God, he's going to move towards you. If you refuse to do that which is godly, why should God meet you, right? The prodigal son, dad didn't go running looking for him until the son was on his way back, and then dad ran up to him. Yeah, so something to consider there. If we always fall to the side of the world and the flesh, we run the great danger that Apostle Paul warned of in Galatians 5:9. A little bit of leaven, leaven the whole lump. That's talking about sin. A little bit of yeast affects the whole lump of dough. A little bit of sin in your life is going to affect everything eventually, like a cancer. like gangrene on your finger, it'll eventually take your whole arm, maybe your life. But the falling on the side of God and holiness will always keep you. It's always kept my house from many pitfalls, snares of the flesh, the world, the enemy, carnal people, from Satan, the enemy. It'll always keep you from falling in that direction. So I have to ask you, for your next decision, saints, one you have to make in your life, you have to make decisions every day, what direction are you going to choose? Are you going to fall towards your flesh, towards the world, towards compromise, towards people-pleasing? Or are you going to fall towards Christ, goodness, purity, holiness, blamelessness? Hey, Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. This is all about choices. I hope you make good choices, always falling towards God when in doubt. If you do that, you'll never be falling away from God. You'll always be falling towards blamelessness and glorifying our Father in heaven. Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men, so they may glorify your Father in heaven. Choosing blameless, holy, good, pure things shows your good works before men. And that's something that we all want to strive for as saints born of the blood of this glorious Savior, waiting for his return or the day we go to be with him. I hope that small but really vital suggestion helps you saints and blesses you. Choose wisely and walk after righteousness and away from sin and the world that lead to death and destruction. Follow the light, follow the truth, follow the Spirit. It leads to life. That life is Christ Jesus. Hey, let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Every day, trying to pour out articles, audios, videos, sisters, blogs, helping you make good decisions so you can serve Christ in spirit and truth. And let us know how we can help you. We love you all. Till next time. May God be praised.